the seven wonders of John 3:16. We started yesterday with God, who God is. And I mean, you don't have to do this, but you can go to your team captain and say, hey, I want to tell you the seven wonders of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I mean, just say the verse. I mean, you probably know that verse. I'm not a great memorizer and I've got that verse down. But if you can't say the verse, that's fine. But it would be nice to say the verse and say, hey, I want to tell you the seven wonders of John 3:16. Number one, God. Number two, so loved. You've got to keep the word so because it speaks of his immense, immense love, his overwhelming love. Number three, it's a gift he gave. Number four is fallen down, but it should be central. But we'll put it back up again. Is the tape still around? Oh, yeah. Can you cut me off some more tape? Oh, thank you. Yeah, this one. And could you cut me off a little more? You know, I'm going to use this. Thank you. I'm going to take them down because I know they're going to fall down. But I'll take them down in a moment. But this one should be up because it's totally central, right? Isn't that beautiful that Jesus Christ is the fourth wonder, central to John 3:16? He should be central in your life, central in my life. He should be our everything, okay? So the fourth wonder of John 3:16 is the Son or Jesus Christ. And then you say the fifth wonder, which we'll get today, is this invitation that whoever believes, God is inviting. You don't have to come. You don't have to receive, but all of you, all of us are invited. I have two siblings. I have a younger sister and an older brother. My younger sister lives in Australia. My older brother lives in England. My sister doesn't know the Lord. My brother doesn't know the Lord. I've shared with both of them. I don't know why, but I know the Lord. I know why the Lord broke into my heart. Not everyone, you don't have to. But the invitation is there. I want you to know. I'm sure you've been invited to a wedding or a party. You don't have to go. Sometimes, you know, maybe, and someone asked me that, one of the ladies over here, I think it was that girl back there. You asked me about, you feel guilty that, you know, which was a great, no one's ever asked me that question. You know, is God putting us on a guilt trip that we should, he's done so much for us, so we should do this? No, not at all. You don't have to. But when you understand what God has done and you understand your great need, it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. So I want to mention that. So the Son, Jesus Christ, absolutely central. The invitation is there. Whoever believes should not perish. In other words, you will not be, God has put his wrath on his Son. You will not be judged for your sin. You're in Christ. Someone will be judged. Someone took your place. So it's not like God just said, oh, it doesn't matter. It absolutely matters, but you should not perish, but have eternal life, okay? So that's where we want to go today. I'm going to leave these up, and if they start falling down, I'm going to take them down, just pretending I'm totally working my illustration out, you know, anyway. But we'll see. But let's pray. Father, we commit our way to you this morning. Thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, please help me to be able to share what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I thank you for all that we've heard over these days. Lord, so much good teaching and challenge. Oh, Lord, but we want to end with you. We want to begin with you and we want to end with you. And I pray this morning, Lord, help me to speak your word clearly. And, Lord, help me to communicate your heart. Lord, please help me not to say the wrong thing or offend anybody. Lord, you would be the one that is remembered from our time together this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I heard something fall off. So, hey, we'll just go with it. So, we're going to take these off because we did them yesterday. And not because they're not important, but I want you to note the Son is right in the center where he should be in your life and my life. And I'm not, you know, I'm just doing that. I don't know. Like, don't worry about it. So hopefully these three will hang out for a little bit. But I'm going to go through the first two fairly quickly. This picture, you'll see the relevance of it. It's a sunrise. Thank you, Marianne. It's a sunrise, the wonder of the gospel, part two. It's a sunrise. And that will be important in a little while. All right, so let's go to this one. And again, I've written out a lot of verses for you, and it's more for you just to write down maybe the references, and you can go back to them later. But the wonder of God's invitation, the availability of the gospel. Can my sister come to know the Lord? She can. Can my brother come to know the Lord? He can. It's available. It's the invitation is there, okay? That whoever believes, that what a wonder that God would send his own son to die for all of us. I mean, this is important for me. It's important for you to realize this. I've got my pointer here. So God gives an invitation. The word God gives an invitation with the word come. It's used approximately 642 times in the whole Word of God. So Old Testament, New Testament, the word or the implication of the word come. Come. God's inviting you. God's encouraging you, come. No. Kind of like what we heard last night. I like Wendy's. I want to work at Wendy's. I can't remember. What was the other one? Wendy's and... No, not the White House. That was the other one. What was the other bad one? What? Huh? Oh, that's right. JV. I didn't used to understand what that meant, but once my girls started playing volleyball, I got it. JV, I mean, what does that even mean? Junior varsity, what does that even mean? Anyway, but yeah, JV or Wendy's. But the invitation, come unto me. This is just four quick examples. Come unto me, all ye that labor and you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest, the Lord says. Come to me. You that are burdened and overwhelmed, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Okay. Secondly, Jesus stood saying, if any man thirsts, heard a little bit about that yesterday, though. This is John 7. If any man thirsts, come. Come unto me and drink. Come. You don't have to. But it's there. The Lord's not going to force you. The Lord won't force you to do anything. He calls you to follow him. God is a good God. I told you yesterday about the shepherds in the east. They walk in front of the sheep. They don't stand behind them and drive them. Hey, move it up. He's not like that at all. Hey, knucklehead, come here. He's not like that. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Come and eat. Come and eat. You know, eating a meal was such a time of fellowship. It was a time to sit down. No hurry. Talk. Chat. Get to know people. Come. Come. Come sit at the table of the king. Come and see. Come and see. Heard that yesterday. Come and see. So again, that's all I want to say really about this incredible invitation. The sixth great wonder of the gospel is God's pardon, the sufficiency, the power of the gospel. No one that you should not perish, John 3:16. Toza, I put that little quote up there. Hopefully that you just write it down. And I mean, I've got to give you some context to it, I guess. But we take refuge from God in God. That means that in Christ we're hidden and the wrath of God is poured on Jesus Christ. The wages, you know, it tells us in Romans 3:23. The wages, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. There will be a death because of sin. Have you sinned? Have I sinned? Boy, yes. And it adds up to death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We take refuge from God in God. God will judge sin. We are hidden in Christ. That's what it means. God is going to bring his judgment, righteous judgment. His wrath is coming. In fact, it's already upon us. And if we're in Christ, Christ will take it for us and we will be hidden. We will not perish. Does that make sense? Do you wonder about the love of God? Yesterday, last night, wasn't it beautiful? You're singing. I'm standing at the back there and I'm singing. You know, I'm not a great singer, but, you know, sometimes your heart is moved and I don't know if you get it, but you're like, yeah, sometimes you get goosebumps and I was like, we were singing. It was awesome last night. Just listen what you sang. You sang that. Do you believe it? Some of you look like, yeah, at the moment, but do you believe it every day? Does it affect your life? Listen to what you sang last night. I was writing some of this down. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Did you sang that? Do you believe it? If you do, it will change your life. Do you really believe it? Not just in your head, but in your heart. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Isn't that amazing? So, we'll just take this down so we don't get distracted here. But the Father's wrath completely satisfied. Once we were enemies of God, but now we're seated at your table. You can eat with the Lord. It is done, you said. You sang this last night. It is done. It is finished. No more debt I owe. What a line. It's done. It's finished. Jesus said it is finished from the cross. No more debt I owe. Paid in full. You sang it. All sufficient merit now my own. You sang that. You believe it? I mean, you sang it with passion last night. I was, like I said, I was sitting back there. And you sang it with passion. I mean, even I got caught up in like, yo, wow, this is awesome. Look at these young people worshiping God. I mean, like, that's one of the most thrilling things in my life to see young people want to know the Lord. Wow. You don't know the journey ahead of you, what God has for you. I'm not saying it's going to be always easy, but what a journey. What an adventure to follow the Lord. But you sang that. You have broken every chain. You sang there's salvation. There is life. There is saving in your name. You should not perish. All right. Let's see what I have here. Let me ask you this question. Why are you a Christian? And now I'm taking the position of maybe you know the Lord. Maybe you think you know the Lord. Maybe you're not sure if you know the Lord or whatever. I'm not wanting you to think, I'm not kind of up here to judge where you are with the Lord. But the fundamental question I want to ask you this morning is why are you a Christian? Why are you wanting to trust Jesus? I'm assuming you all seem to want to be here, like that's been mentioned. But ask yourself that question. In a small group that I was leading some years ago, I like to ask questions. We heard about that yesterday as well. Questions are good. The Lord's never afraid. Let me say this. The Lord's never afraid of any of your questions. Okay? Ask him. He may not give you the answer right away, and he may never give you the answer, but he's not afraid of any of your questions. But ask yourself this, why am I a Christian? I asked that. There was about six or seven of us, and I remember a friend that I was working with, really nice guy, and I said, so, hey, his name was Daryl. I said, Daryl, why are you a Christian? And he thought about it for a second. He said, I just don't want to go to hell. I said, oh, okay, and what else? I just want to make sure that I'm going to go to heaven. Okay. I mean, that's good. And I'm like, oh, that's good. What else? Anything else? That's about it. I mean, I don't want to go to hell. And that's good. But it's not complete. Let me just say that. That's good. That's awesome. That's what the verse says. That they should not perish. But the verse isn't over. It's not finished. There's more to come. Jesus has more to say. Ask yourself this morning, why are you a Christian? Is it because, you're scared and you don't want to go to hell? Or you want to make sure that you're going to go to heaven? Like it's kind of like something you want to get dealt with, and then and maybe it can be completely sincere. Like, that's it. I guess that's it. And then we kind of do the best we can, right? I mean, that is good, but it's not complete. Years ago, there was an evangelist that, this is before airplanes, so it's more when we had ships that would take passengers. We still have those, but they would go across the Atlantic from England to the United States, back to England, back to the United States. Would take, 5 to 7 days sailing across on these steamships. And there was an evangelist. His name was Gypsy Smith, as far as I remember. I mean, I didn't meet him. I'm just was told this story. I think I heard the story here. And he was standing. He was quite old at this point, maybe about 86. and someone came up to him and they said, how do you keep doing this? How do you keep going from the United States back to England, do these evangelistic meetings, and then go back again, do some more, go back again? How do you keep doing that? And he looked out at the ocean and he thought for a second and he said, well, I've never lost the wonder of the gospel. Never lost that. To him, the gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ was wonderful. It was amazing, and he couldn't help but tell people about it. It so stirred his heart and filled his... I've never lost the wonder of the gospel. And that's kind of what I'm trying to communicate to you. Is the gospel wonderful to you? Is Jesus Christ wonderful to you? Is knowing God the best? We sang, what a great song that we sang to begin with. That knowing you, Lord, knowing you. It's just awesome song. But do you believe it? You sang that song last night with such passion. Maybe not so much this morning because I know we're still waking up. But last night was so good. But do you believe it? Why are you a Christian? Let me just complete what should be at least at work in your mind and heart. The privilege of the gospel. The wonder of God's presence. I mean, you could just jump up and down at that. If that doesn't excite you, if that doesn't, move your heart, you don't know the Lord much at all. He's still like my headmaster, D.C. Thompson. Distorted, we heard about that. Incomplete. I loved Jed's, I told him yesterday when Jed was sitting up here, and he said, why did you come, I can't remember the question, but what did you learn at school or something? And he said this, which was really good. I know he's from a good Christian home. His dad used to teach here before the Lord took him home, and he knows the Lord. But what he said yesterday was so important. I got to realize that Christianity, I'm paraphrasing him totally, and if I get this wrong, Jed, just correct me afterwards. But basically, it was to do with, it became mine, and I got to see Christianity is a relationship, it's real, and I'm summarizing here, I can walk with God, I can know God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm just like sitting back there again, I'm like, yes, that's it. I mean, working with all these difficult students year after year, that just hearing that was worth it. Oh, I'm joking. But no, I mean, when the new class comes in, now it comes in August, I mean, I'm just like, yes! 20 young people that want to know the Lord. Are they perfect? No! Do they have it all together? Absolutely not. Are they a bunch of knuckleheads? Absolutely. But they want to know the Lord. They want to know the Lord. I'm like, yes, let's go. If you have a heart to know the Lord, come. This isn't the only place, but it's a good place. I came when I was 30, just into my 30s. I came as a student here. I had not been to any kind of Bible college, and I just wanted to come somewhere and study the Word and get to know the Lord, and so that's why I came. And, I was kind of a little... I'll be honest, I was a little hesitant. I mean, I'd never been to the United States before, and my first impression of the United States was, whoa, it's so big. The roads are big, the cars are big, the people are big. Everything's big. That was one where I should say, Lord, please help me not to offend anybody. But anyway, the pet stores were big. I remember going in with my friends who were from South Africa. I was staying with them for the first couple of days in Atlanta, and they had two cats, and we went to Petco, and I'm like, oh my world, is this, what is this? It was a superstore, pet store. I'm like, whoa. And I remember being here as a student, and some people said, they were going up to Publix, and they said, what kind of ice cream do you want? And I'm like, I don't know, chocolate. Yeah, but what kind? I'm like, chocolate. Like chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, chocolate. No, but what kind of chocolate? I'm like, what are you talking about? So anyway, I ended up going with them. And we walked the whole aisle. It must have been as long as this. Chocolate, 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 chocolate. Chocolate chip, top, top, chip, chop, chop. Oreos, this brownie mix, double chocolate thick. I'm like, whoa, what is this? Where are we? I'm on a different planet here, and I have no idea why I'm telling you this, so hold on a second. Anyway, I can't remember what that's got to do with anything, so let's go back to this. But the wonder of God's presence. Oh, that's right. I came to the United States, and I came here to get to know the Lord, and then I got totally sidetracked. But try to stay with me. So the wonder of God's presence, the privilege of the gospel. And I wanted my friend Daryl, I said to him, but Daryl, don't you want to walk with the Lord? Yeah, I guess. See, we're saved from sin and death, but we're saved unto God to know him. That's the other side. That's the complete picture. If all you know in your Christian experience is, oh, thankfully I'm not, I don't think I'm God. I'm pretty sure I'm saved. So I'm good. You're missing out on everything. Eternal life. What is eternal life? So I put it up here so that we don't have to turn to it. And this is, John says this in his gospel a little bit later, but who said that? Anybody know who said this statement? And this, except for the students, and this is eternal life, that they may know the true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Who said that? And who did he say it to? Yes! Say again. Jesus said it, but he didn't say it to his disciples. Who did he say it to? That was... Yeah, yes! It's prayer, yeah. Isn't that amazing? You know, John 17 is a great chapter because it's like you can creep up. Wonder how Jesus prayed. You can creep up to John chapter 17. You know, Jesus would go away to the side and they couldn't find him sometimes. But this time we can find him. He's over there. And you can creep up to John 17. And Jesus speaking to his Father. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever wondered how Jesus connected with his Father, what was on his heart, what was on his Father's heart? This is right in the beginning. He says this to his Father, and this is eternal life. That they know the true God, that this knowledge, this personal relationship, this friendship, if you like, that they might know God, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So John MacArthur puts it this way, and I think this has been super helpful. I learned this, or I read this, or I heard this very early on in my Christian life, and it kind of set me on a great path. Eternal life, he says, is not so much a length of time or living forever, because that's what we think it is, just. We heard a little bit about it from Mr. Nuremberg with the abundant life, but he says, MacArthur puts it this way, it's a new quality of life. By that we mean, I can now know God. I can actually know the uncreated one. I'm not going to know him completely, but I can know him truly. I can know him rightly. There's no spin with God. You know, maybe that's an old word, but that you know, have those spin centers and just turn things around. We can turn lots of things, but with God, he just tells you the truth. Really? Are you sure? Eternal life is not so much a length of time, but a new quality of life that I might know God. Is your Christianity just so I don't go to hell? That you should not perish? But you forgot to read the rest of the verse. But have eternal life. So Lord, what is eternal life? Maybe I can ask the Lord. You can ask the Lord. But Lord, what is eternal life? And later on, John records for us Jesus' very words. And this is eternal life. That they might know the true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That was a burden on the Lord's heart as he prayed. You sang this morning, not the best, but pretty good. But last night you sang it so passionately and worshipfully. I'm not saying you didn't. Lord, please help me not to offend anyone. Oh, if you gave your whole heart this morning, but you know what I mean. And listen, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there's no greater thing. Is that true? You sang it. Is that true? I try to be upright. Don't say things you don't mean. You know, in the United States, again, please, Lord, help me not to offend anybody. You know, everyone says, hey, how are you? And when I first came here, I was like, oh, fine. And they walked away. I'm like, well, why'd you ask me how I am when you don't want to know? And I remember meeting one guy on a ship, and he said to me, hey, what's happening? And I'm like, well, so, and he just walked off. And I thought, don't say things you don't mean. You don't want to know how I am. But then I learned, as in all cultures, we have different things. And it's just a greeting, and it's fine. But I tell all the international people that come here, don't be offended when someone asks you how you are and they walk away. They're not actually, they're just saying hello. That means hello in the United States. So, but anyway, again, coming back to, do you mean this? Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there's no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. I don't know if that's the best. I have to say this because I mentioned it this morning. You know, I know what it means. You're the best. Hey, Lord, you're the best. You're the best. We're talking about, there's nothing greater than knowing you. You sang it with passion. You're my joy. Is Jesus Christ really your joy? We heard about it last night. Do you have joy in your salvation? David said that in Psalm 51. Lord, because he had to deal with his sin, oh Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. There's joy in salvation. Hey, we can have salvation. Whew. Thankfully, I'm not going to hell. But do you know joy? Enter into the joy. Being in God's presence is the fullness of joy. You're my joy, my righteousness. And you said this too. I love you, Lord. Do you mean it? Do I mean it? I'm not standing up here. I know I'm higher than you, but I'm not judging you. I'm in the same boat as you. And I love you, Lord. He needs to be our first love. Now, that's not always easy, but he should be our first love. He should be the one that means the most to us, regardless of anything. So, the wonder of God's presence is the seventh great wonder of John 3:16. And I want to show you this. Let's turn, though, to Isaiah chapter 60, 1 and 2, because this is a picture that I have in my mind of understanding the wonders of eternal life. I grew up in Durban, South Africa. I was born in England, but I grew up in South Africa, and we ended up, my brother and some friends, we ended up doing a lot of surfing, and we would go down to the beach in Durban when it was still dark. We'd walk down there, and the sun always rises in the east, as we know. That is not Durban. I did try to find a picture of Durban, but the sun would be down, and you'd be out in the waves, and then suddenly, and you'd wait for it, suddenly, boom, a little pink or a little yellow. Oh, I love that. It was worth getting up early to just see that. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. This is, for me, helpful pictures. I can't draw. People often ask us, wow, you must be so great at painting. And I'm like, no. They ask my wife, you must be so great at painting. No, we're not very good. So, wow, where did your kids get that? I don't know. But I do think in pictures. Arise, shine. For your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And then we can go on. Now I know that this is speaking really more of the second coming of Christ, but I want to use it as a picture of what ought to be happening in your life as you realize that you've been saved unto God. That the Lord becomes more and more and more to you as you live your life. When we used to go surfing, I'll just tell you this just to keep you with me, a story. Just remind me where I'm going when I go back to some of the details. But when we were kids, we came up with, and I'm sure you did, all kind of unique ways. Don't do this, though. Do not do this. Don't tell your parents that, hey, Mr. Brazier did this, so it must be good. This was not bad, but it wasn't the best. But anyway, so there were six of us that would go surfing early in the morning, and the two guys that lived furthest away, their job was to wake up. My brother and I, we lived in a third-story apartment, and we would be asleep. but we would tie a sock around our ankles, and then we would hang fishing line out of the apartment all the way down to the ground and put it under a rock so that when the two first friends who woke up would come along and they'd yank the fishing line, and we'd go, link, link, whoa, hey, hey, whoa, it's time. And of course, they didn't just gently do it. You know, they wanted to make a statement. And so, whoa, whoa, okay, okay, all right, we're coming. And then we'd go, and at that point, I think we just kind of picked up our surfboards and our bags, and we just walked out of the house. I don't even think we thought about drinking anything. I'm sure we went to the bathroom, but eating didn't really penetrate our minds. And then the four of us would head on further down towards the beach, and then we got our turn because there was two other guys that would come with us, and they lived also on the third floor apartment, and the fishing line was down, and we'd get it. And then they, and then the six of us would head off to the beach. I'm not giving you permission to do that, and so as a tricky way to get out of the house and so on. But so, just, you know, that's just a story to, you know, keep you with me, I guess. And then we'd head down to the beach. It was dark. One time when we did get to this third house, the police turned up and wondered what we were doing in the bushes. Like what? And they thought we were trying to break in because it's pretty early in the morning. But fortunately, they saw who we were and we explained it, and they started laughing, and then we were let go. But anyway, we'd get down to the beach. It'd be dark. I mean, you know, kind of. You know, dawn was. You know how it's just before the sun, so it's not completely dark. Some nights, though, we would go, and again, I'm not giving you permission to do this, sometimes we would even sleep down at the beach. That wasn't the best because we would sleep in these shelter things, and you just don't sleep good. But that saved us walking down to the beach. It was maybe a 30-minute walk, so that saved us, but it wasn't worth it. It was better to do the fishing line. But anyway, we'd get down there, and then we would get ready, and we'd go out, and then I'd say, bing, arise and shine. Do you wake up in the morning and think, wow, I can meet with the Lord? Or do you wake up in the morning, which seems to be more the status quo, oh, I hope I don't sin today. I hope I live well today. Or I hope I don't blow it today. Don't look at the Lord. Look up. Don't look in. Look up. Do you wake up in the morning, arise and shine for your life? What a privilege. I have a privilege to meet with the Lord. That's eternal life, knowing God. Does that excite you? Does that thrill your heart? Because I'm just telling you, Christianity is much more than just being saved from your sin and not going to hell. It's knowing God. Now. Not later. Later is going to be amazing because then our eyes are really going to be open. And it's going to be incredible. But now. If all it is, if salvation is just being saved from your sin, the Lord would have just taken you home. But he left you here. He left you here to know him in a unique way of faith and also to make him known to other people. We have purpose. We have privilege. Boy, I don't want to get sidetracked, so let's keep going. Eternal life. The wonder of the gospel. You have new life. I have new life now, right now in Christ. You can know and walk with God now, right now. There's still so much more to the Christian life than having peace with God. Romans 5:1, that is essential. We need peace with God. We were at odds with him. We were enemies of God. But that's not the end. They shall not perish. The sixth great wonder of John 3:16. But make sure you look at the seventh great wonder. I never lost the wonder of the gospel. There's so much more to the Christian life than sins forgiven, not going to hell, making sure I go to heaven. And that's all important and necessary. I'm not diminishing that. But I'm just telling you, if all you do is look in, hope that you don't sin and that you are respectable before God, you're missing the whole, it's incomplete. You're saved from sin and death, and you're saved unto God. A new life in Christ Jesus. And in Paul's letters, Mr. Nuremberg mentioned this too, you'll see he says so much more about the new life, the abundant life. He says so much more about what it means to be in Christ and what you should do than what you shouldn't do and sin. Now, it's not that you neglect it. Let me give you this story. This is helpful for me. And again, I'm, you know, just paraphrasing certain things. You remember the story, and the picture is good enough for us, of the Last Supper. So, hey, the people are coming, and they're coming in, and it's a kind of uneasy situation. And then Jesus gets up, and he washes the feet of the disciples, and Peter's like, oh, no, you can't. Like, if you're going to wash my feet, you have to wash my whole body. And then the Lord says to him, hey, you're already clean. I just washed. And it's a picture of dealing with your daily sin, okay, in one sense. I know, again, great theologians out there, don't come and stab me afterwards. But anyway, generally the picture. Dealing with your daily sins that you pick up in the day. Deal with them. Mr. Nuremberg mentioned this. Just, if you sin, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I want to follow you today. Just deal with it. Now, I know there are some entrenched sins that maybe need more, but still, don't over-focus on them. The cleaning of the feet was not the main thing. Why did they clean their feet? Why did they wash their feet? Anybody? You have to speak loud because I'm kind of half deaf here. But why were they cleaning their feet in that culture? So what? What were they going to go and do? Do what? No. That's a great bad answer. Please, Lord, help me not to offend anyone. But yeah, I mean, that can be what we think. But why did in that culture, why do they wash their feet? Where are they going? Yes, thank you, lady. Right, I mean, that's why, but that's still not telling me they're cleaning their feet. That's why they have to clean their feet, but like, what's next? Yeah. Yes. Did you say to eat together? I'm assuming you said that. Yes. They're only cleaning their feet because they want them to come and sit at the table. Does that make sense to you a little bit? Like, sometimes, like, those are some good, bad answers. Maybe you think I planted them there, but I didn't. But that isn't our thinking, so that we'll have to clean them again, or we focus on the dirt and the cleaning of the feet, and it's important. I'm not denying. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is they come in, and they sit at the table, and they fellowship with Jesus. They can know him. They come and eat with him. Deal with your sin, for sure. But don't just wake up in the morning, oh Lord. I went through this for a time because I wanted to be holy. I wanted to be right. Lord, help me not to sin. And I just, God, there's no freedom in that. There's no joy in that. I'm just looking at me. I'm just looking at my performance. And then when I realized that as the Lord, as you study the Word of God, and I want to encourage you. I'm not doing this to make a big deal out of it, but get a Bible that you can have for life. Don't just rely. Again, I get into trouble. If your Bible's just an app, yeah, man, it should be more important than that. Get a Bible. If you want me to help you get one, I can get you one. I'm not paying for it, but I'll get you one and you can pay me. But get a Bible it's a sword. I've had this Bible and I don't want to let it go for years and years and years. It's all marked up. That's how I got to know the Lord. Now, some people don't like bad, it's sinful to mark your Bible. I don't know, but like, boy, I got to know the Lord. I have to get it rebound. So, Jed, I was going to talk to you again about the scriptura. Is your girlfriend coming anytime? I wanted to meet her. Sometimes you can get it rebound. It's amazing what they can do, but get a Bible that is meaningful to you. And keep it. It's your sword. That you get familiar with it. Make it something. I'm just telling you. Again, phones are amazing. Well, actually, handheld computers. That's all this really is. Handheld computers are amazing. But choose this. And I know, I have people tell me, yeah, but no, you don't understand the power of the phone and all the stuff. And someone's shown me all the color-coded Bible. I just don't think it's like, this is more personal. Don't you want to hold it, use it? When I see a young person, like I saw someone on Sunday morning, it was a young lady, she had her Bible open. I'm like, oh my word, praise God. Now I know we didn't, at one point, didn't have Bibles and so on, but like we do now. And because what happens with the phone? I've sat behind so many people and they start off by looking at the Bible verse, but then they soon get a notification and they're drifting off to other such things. And I find that, like, I love soccer, especially English soccer. I mean, I grew up with that, football really, but anyway, Sunday morning, they're playing all the key games, you know, like 10, 11, and I'm in church, and I don't take my phone, because I know I'd be tempted beyond what I can endure, and my kids would jump on me in a moment. Dad, you told us not to, and I could check out, how's the game going? And I'm like, I take me 5 seconds. But I just leave the phone. I don't take it with me. Confession afterwards, I do check out the scores. How, and I'm like, oh, man, how did they lose the game? Anyway, but Bible. That's how I've got to know the Lord. Some of you might be like, how do you, one of the young ladies, where is she here? She asked me last night about trusting her yours. How did you learn to trust after those 10 years? By getting to know the Lord in the Word. You don't have to know the Hebrew and the Greek. You it's all connected, and it points us to the central person of Jesus Christ. And that's who you get to walk with. All right. You sidetracked me a little bit getting off base. Let's go. Look up, look out. God has called us into the fellowship of His Son. God called you into fellowship with, that's a Christian word, right? But it just means into a relationship. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul's passion, Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. And you can read on, and the power of His rest. I want to know Him. Colossians 3:4, Christ who is my life. And then to keep the balance of looking up, looking out, Acts 20, I'm not going to go through it now because we don't have time, but you can just jot that. What a verse. That I might run this race, setting everything aside in that sense, that I might testify to the gospel of God's grace, that I might tell everyone I can, while I can, of who God is. That's such a powerful, powerful verse that let's turn to. Because I, you know, the balance of the Christian life is looking up and looking out. And now and again, when you need to, look in. But hey, don't stay there. David says in Psalm 139, oh Lord, search me and try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now and again, the Spirit of God will convict you. If you're walking with the Lord, He'll convict you of sin. Deal with it. It's a conditional verse in 1 John 1:9. You should try to memorize that verse at least. If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive. Like, think about this. He will forgive and He will cleanse you. He'll go abundantly more. He'll forgive you and He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. There's nothing between you and the Lord, and you continue to walk. You know what it's like when you have a little, and then you can't look at each other in the eyes, and you kind of get around it. Guys tend to get over things quicker than girls, but anyway, and then they're struggling. When there's something between you and the Lord, you can't look up. Ask the Lord to forgive you. But move on. Don't stay there. 1 John 1:9, but let's go to Acts 20:24. One of my favorite verses. There's more to it if you go back, but however, he says, as he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. What a verse. Look up, look out. All right, application. Jesus Christ, I learned this here. And if I can learn it, you can learn it. But how do we learn it? By habitually bringing it in front of us until it becomes a habit. We all live with our habits, good or bad. Jesus Christ must become three things to you every single day. And I want to base this in the key verse of the last 30 years of my life. I heard it here. Dr. Kinohiro, remember him, Mr. Nuremberg? We had some meetings one morning, 9 o'clock, for students can relate to this. He came up here. Mr. Carroll got us in here. So there was a number of us in here. And he said, Dr. Kinohiro is going to bring you the word. So our classes go 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, just kind of like this. And Dr. Kinohiro started preaching. And all I remember was Psalm 16:8. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And I know the Spirit of God just burnt that in my soul. And he spoke for about 3.5 hours. No lie. Because I remember thinking, oop, guess we're not having second period. Oop, guess we're not having third. Oop, volleyball may not be happening. He spoke for 3.5 hours. I don't know how he did that. You ever remember that, me? I just like staggered. But the central verse, well, one of the central verses was, he put this in front of me. This is David. I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I want to finish with this. As we think about walking with God, who is Jesus Christ to you? I showed you he was central. I told you that you should not perish. We will not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is knowing the true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus Christ needs to become three things. I learned this here. I was told it, and it's never been far from my mind. In fact, in the morning, sometimes when I feel discontent, hey, Colin, remember, Jesus Christ can only satisfy your heart. We heard that last night. But I want you to see it in the verse. I've set the Lord always before me. Every morning, set the Lord before you. Lord, today, I'm going to look to you, and I know that you're a good God, and you're going to lead me, and I can trust you. And you will satisfy my heart. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, the right hand speaks of strength. Second thing, Jesus Christ needs to be you every day. He's not just your satisfaction, but your sufficiency. He needs to be your strength. It is impossible without the Spirit of God to live the Christian life. I'm just telling you that. Of course, we need, and God causes us to be a new creation. We become the temple of the Spirit of God. He is in us, and as we walk with him, he quickens us. He gives you the grace to do what you need to do today. You know that famous verse, speaks of, his grace is sufficient for me. That's a real positive verse. It's about doing the will of God. It's not about forgiveness because you blew it. It's about doing the will of God. In the context of the passage, the Lord wasn't going to take away that thorn in the flesh for Paul. And even though he asked the Lord a number of times, your grace is sufficient for me to do what you're calling me to do. Do it in the power of God. Set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. He's my sufficiency. He's my strength. Lord, whatever you put in front of me, I've got to look to you for that strength. I will not be shaken. He is my security. He is the one that protects me. He is the one that keeps me a shepherd. Again, three things that generally a shepherd will do. He will provide for the sheep. He will protect the sheep, and he will preserve the sheep. By preserve, he keeps them from things that they are so dumb and get into all kinds of problems. And protection speaks more of enemies, and because they are very vulnerable. But the Lord has to be three things to you: your satisfaction, your security, your sufficiency. Do you know the joy of your salvation right now, today? Do you know what it means to wake up in the morning and say, oh Lord, I can walk with the King. I want to meet with the Lord. Hey, maybe it's just 5 minutes, but I want to meet with you, Lord. You're my first love. I'm just telling you one last thing. I'm just going to tell you, if you, you know, we talked about satisfaction last night, but nothing else on this earth will satisfy your heart except Jesus Christ. And I think we know that. Let me give you an illustration, which I give the students all the time. You know, if your great goal is to get married, and you think if finally I can, or if I, you know, maybe one day I can become a parent or whatever, then I'll know, then my life is complete. If you're not satisfied before you get married, you won't be satisfied after you get married, ultimately. Only Christ can satisfy your heart. The problem with that situation is if you get married and you're not satisfied and you haven't come to know Christ as your satisfaction, your